Good morning and welcome to Perspectives, a public affairs program produced by Midwest Communications of Holland. In the 1450 WHTC newsroom, I'm News Director Gary Stevens.
I hosted the WHTC in the morning program this past week and had a chance to chat with a few people. We'll hear from Congressman Fred Upton about him being a champion of Medicare momentarily. But first, a chat with Holland Mayor Kurt Dykstra talking about Holland Rescue Mission Executive Director Daryl Bartlett, how he's making a difference in his community.
He sees people that are homeless, maybe having a little sign saying we'll work for food and all that. And instead of just passing by or maybe just throwing a dollar, he'll pick them up and take them to the Holland Rescue Mission. And I sort of compared that to a couple of communities in the Grand Rapids area that have been dealing with panhandling situations where Holland, it's not here. There, they have those issues. It's something you guys have to deal with and have dealt with in the past.
Yeah, you know, we do see a bit of it, but you're right. Daryl Bartlett and really the whole rescue mission does an outstanding job, you know, just an exemplary job. And we saw an example of this very visibly on Wednesday evening of this week when we had the rescue mission using about 300-plus volunteers to serve about 1,400 people. And you didn't have to just basically show up or sign up and appear. But what a tremendous community event at the DeVos Fieldhouse. Everyone sits, eats in one sitting, and we get volunteers from all, you know, people from various churches and just different community members. But also we get, on the busiest night of the year in the restaurant business, we get people from the Gilmore Collection, we get people from other restaurants in town volunteering their time to be the pros, if you will, for helping us all serve the food, because some of us are just, you know, not that professional in those areas.
Yeah, I made sure I'm not one of those.
My dad.
Yeah, and our kids come along. Mm-hmm. It's really part of our own family tradition now to be on that that place on that evening. So it's a great thing.
The thing is, though, that is a sticky issue because, to a certain extent, yes, you have freedom of speech. That's what the ACLU does. But yet, you know, people in this atmosphere of mind your own business type, they don't want to be bothered. And they feel uncomfortable by these signs.
Well, and I think there's also the fact that are you sure you know what the money's going for and what's the story behind it is part of the problem. So, you know, if you talk with the Daryl Bartletts or the folks at Community Action House or other agencies, you know, Mel Trotter in Grand Rapids, they will encourage that, you know, you redirect these folks to places like that where you know that the food money's going to go to warm meals, shelter, and those kinds of things, as opposed to simply, you know, giving them some money and you never know exactly what's going to happen there.
And it makes these people accountable.
Well,
to a certain extent.
Yeah, I mean, it does. And you, as a donor, then, have the knowledge that you know where the money is going and what it's going for. Because you can take good confidence in Mel Trotter, Rescue Mission, whatever it is.
Some serious matters we are discussing about not just the panhandling situation, but also the latest involving the Holland BPW power plant. And more offers of just compensation have been approved by that board, and I know, again, you're not directly involved as, but yet to a certain extent it is, because it is a municipal utility.
Right, and we do, the council does have to approve those sales as well. So, I think things are overall going quite well. Now, on Wednesday, you know, a gentleman called in when I was here with Juke and sort of took a different tact on it. But what I would say, again, is that you know, we hired folks to do the appraisals, and the amount that the property owners receive up there is at least 125% of the appraisal amount. So, you know, paying for moving costs. And I mean, we understand it is a major inconvenience and a major disruption for people who are affected for the greater community good, and therefore we want to go above and beyond what really is even required under the state constitution. But, you know, I think things are going well in my conversations with the BPW folks, that things are moving along. And this is one piece of many, many different pieces of the air permit, pieces of the design of the new plant and grounds. So they feel comfortable that they're right on track for where we need to be to open up in 2016.
How much of it, just your gut feeling, Kurt, is about the NIMBY, not in my backyard, type attitude.
You know, I don't know that that's it so much. Honestly, I think that, you know, this is, I believe, the right spot for it, given all the various factors that have to take in place. But, you know, it's very disruptive to a particular neighborhood. Now, if this was something we were, placing smack dab in the middle of, let's say, 18th Street between Columbia and Central, that I think we'd have much more NIMBYism in that sort of situation, and justifiably so. Here, this is in many ways a little area in the neighborhood that is mostly actually in Holland Township, not even in the Holland, city of Holland. That most people don't ever drive back in because it's tucked away and not, sort of dead-ended back in there. And so I don't know so much of it's NIMBYism as opposed to just, hey, we, as most people, we liked living in this place, in this neighborhood, and now it's changing. And change is not easy, to be sure. But we've seen it, things that exist today are certainly not the way they've always been. And, you think back, 25, 30 years ago, where Freedom Village is, was a very different neighborhood kind of feeling. And, you go back 100 years or 50 years, I'm sure some of your listeners are saying, yeah, I remember what this area, some particular neighborhood was like in the 1950s, and boy, that's changed dramatically. So, you hopefully just try to make the best decisions that you can for that particular time, understanding that the only thing constant in life is change, right?
Now our conversation with Congressman Fred Upton.
Medicare Access Champion, one Fred Upton. Congratulations on the honor.
Well, thanks. It's a bipartisan effort, and I had a nice group come down to Kalamazoo to present that to me yesterday, and I stand ready to help our seniors, and it was a nice thing to do on their part, so I appreciated it very much.
How important is, as they say, being a champion for Medicare? Because it is a growing number of constituents, not only for you, but for all in Washington to have to address.
Well, it is important, and there's a huge issue that we're actually working on now that involves all seniors over 65 that qualify for Medicare, obviously. But what it is providing for the proper reimbursement between providers, doctors, and Medicare patients, those over 65. And we moved bipartisan legislation, passed it out of our committee 51-0 to make sure that this program is run right. It doesn't look like the Senate is going to take it up in time, and we're going to be looking probably at a one-year extension with a small update, small increase for our physicians. I met with many in the physician community last night in Kalamazoo, and doing it again throughout the week this week. But it's important that we get a patch for this done, because otherwise reimbursement rates would decline by 30% beginning in January. And not only will physicians not welcome that change, obviously, it'll be very hard, I think, for seniors to find physicians to take care of their ailments, knowing that, in fact, those reimbursements could go down as much as 30%. So it's something that we're working on, and probably one of the big reasons why I received this award yesterday.
You mentioned the reimbursement situation. Are we getting to a point where, like Social Security, maybe a revision or overhaul might be needed soon because more and more people are getting into the program and less people are funding it?
Well, that is true. We have 10,000 Americans turning 65 every day. And as the baby boomers get closer to that in terms of the big bubble, and I'm one of those, I'm 60, you're probably going to need to see some changes. But we're anxious to make sure that protections are there for those that are receiving benefits today. So it's a careful balance, and I look forward to seeing something happen maybe sometime next spring that really makes sure that the program is viable and protects the benefits for those seniors that are getting it today. But that's a little bit on the way off. What we're trying now to do is just to make sure that the reimbursement schedule, the physician reimbursement schedule, really does fit the needs of not only seniors but doctors too.
The complete interviews for both Mayor Dykstra and Fred Upton is available on the website of WHTC.com in the podcast section. The Upton interview is in WHTC News, and the Dykstra interview is in WHTC in the Morning. And that's Perspectives for this week. From the 1450 WHTC Newsroom, I'm Gary Stevens. Thank you very much for joining me. And listen again next week at this time for more Perspectives.